today we're going to conclude the series we've been in and called I Believe. We started off the series talking about faith and how faith brings to us what God has ordained to us. And if I have faith for something and it doesn't come to me, then I must believe that God's got a better plan or a different plan. When our answers of prayer don't come, doesn't mean we don't have faith. It just simply means a Christian that God has got a different plan. And many times we confuse it thinking that maybe I don't have faith. No, no, no. When I have faith, it brings to me what God wants me to have. And then I have faith to persevere when that's not the answer I want. And so faith brings to me what God has got for me. It's acting like God is telling the truth all the time about everything. An amazing concept, huh? How would our lives change if we would live our lives like God is telling the truth about everything all the time? It would radically change the way we live our lives according to faith. And so today we've talked about the last few weeks on about tests and going through crisis and how we can't test our faith if we can't say we have faith. Well, we can say I believe all we want, but the true test of proving that is walking through a storm or walking through the crisis. And then when storms come, they reveal the cracks in our house, right? We don't know we have leaks until the rain blows a certain way. We don't know we have foundation problems until the cracks show up. Many times we don't see it on the outside, but let a major storm come through and we find out who's really built upon a solid foundation. It's not even sometimes a strong storm. It can be a small storm, but let it blow just a certain way, and we'll find and discover we have leaks in our house we didn't even know existed. And so God puts us through the test. He tests us for us to prove our faith to Him and allow us to see the areas that need to be strengthened in our foundation of who He is with God, who we are with God. So today I want to talk to you as we conclude this on the thought of faith partners. Faith partners. This partnership is a concept that we see throughout Scripture that you and I are called to be in partnership with faith. Look what Genesis 1:26 says. In the very first beginning of the Bible, we see, then God said, let us, who? Us. Is that plural? Yes. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. We see here that when God spoke the creation to existence, He spoke the land into existence. He spoke the night, the light and the darkness into existence. He spoke the waters into existence. He spoke the animals into existence. But when it came to man, that He collaborated in a partnership. Now, some people I've heard say, argue this point, saying he was partnering with the earth to create man. And I would tell you this, that is so wrong. He doesn't have to partner with the earth that He just created. He was partnering, and we see it through Scripture, and I can show you in Scripture, where it says that He partnered with the Son and the Holy Spirit in the creation of man. He said, I gave authority to man. I gave authority to the Son to create in the image of God, man. And so we see where God collaborated with us. We were made in a collaboration. Let me tell you this. Great things happen when partnership and faith exist. Some of you are stuck in some very minor leagues, and God's trying to call you to the majors. And the only way you're going to get there is when you collaborate your faith in a partnership. See, we're called to a twofold partnership. It's a partnership with God and a partnership with each other. Let's back this up in Scripture. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 and 10 says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. We're called to work together. We're called to partnership in our faith together. The word Jehovah is used to describe God. All throughout Scripture, we see this word Jehovah described. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is Jehovah Nisi. He's Jehovah Jireh. We see all these words where the word Jehovah is used to describe God's name. Why is that? Jehovah is a partnership. It's a covenant-keeping God. If you're going to have a covenant, you don't have a covenant alone, do you? Covenant takes two people. A covenant takes at least two people to make a covenant between us. It's a partnership. Our God is a partnering God. He wants to partner with us, and He wants us to partner with each other. Now, we're going to read this story now and spend the rest of our time in this story. in Mark chapter 2, we see this partnership with other believers taking place in Mark chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 and then skip to verses 10 and 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home, and they gathered in such a large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. So Jesus is preaching the word, and people are showing up. The crowds are massive. Some men came, bringing him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him into Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof and above Jesus by digging through and lowered the mat the man was lying on. Now verse 10 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up and take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out of there in full view of all of them. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, "We ain't never seen anything like this." How many say, "Duh"? We ain't never seen anything like this, where a man is just, someone cuts a hole in the roof, they lower a paralyzed man through the roof. Jesus looks up, sees their faith, forgives them of his sins, and then says, "Man, get up." And the man gets up and carries his mat home. We ain't never seen anything like this. Such a true statement. Today, I wonder, this man walked in paralyzed. And I wonder how many of us today, this man was paralyzed, unable to move. And the question today for you is, what's paralyzing you? What's paralyzing you today? What's keeping you from making a major move for God? What's keeping you from moving to the next level and where God wants you to be? Is it unforgiveness? Is it fear? Is it a divorce? Is it money problems? Is it relationship problems? Is there something going on? Does something happen in your life? What's keeping you paralyzed? Like many of us today, we're paralyzed in this room. We've allowed things to come and to paralyze us spiritually from going to the level God has for us. The man gets word that Jesus is in town. One problem, he can't get there. Jesus is in town. I have faith he can heal me, but I can't get there. So he does what he should do. He calls upon some friends to come and help him. And it says that the man had to get and recruit some participation to get him there. It wasn't just swing by and pick me up along the way. It was swing by and carry me all the way. Major difference. See, some of us don't mind the pick me up part. It's the carrying the long distance that kind of stresses us out. This man had to be carried all the way to Jesus. They had to carry them. See, these four men passed the point where they had to carry him to Jesus. They transcended the friend category, and they moved into the partners in faith category. They transcended just the friend who would stop by and say, "Hey," they were transcending that, now becoming partners in faith with him. Look at this statement I made. I want you to get this today. Some seasons in life, you don't need a friend to call you, but a partner to carry you. Some seasons in life, you don't need someone to like your status on Facebook or to retweet what you're going through. You need somebody to come by and say, "Listen, you've been paralyzed way too long. We got to get you up out of this paralyzed state and get you to Jesus. Whatever it takes, we got to get you back into the house of the Lord. We got to get you back into God's presence. We got to find a way to get you where you can become unparalyzed, where God can heal your heart. You've been in this dark place too long. You've been allowing fear to grip you too long. You've been allowing confusion to rule your life way too long." See, a real friend will partner in faith and say, "I will carry you along the way." See, God's calling you and I to be this kind of friend. "Pastor, where do I find those kind of friends at?" I'm glad you asked, because the answer is right on my chest. Any life group people want to give me a phrase after that? There you go. That didn't cost you a thing. Pastor Palm didn't pay me anything to promote this today, except for a free t-shirt. But other than that, today we have got to become these kind of partners. This is what God's looking for in our life, for us to become this kind of partner. I wish someone would be that kind of partner to me. Well, have you been that kind of partner to anybody else? See, it works both ways. And God's calling us to be a partner with Him in faith, and He's also calling us to be a power partner, a faith partner for somebody else. Because the world is full of people who will come by and give someone pity, who will come by and say, keep your head up. But there's very few people that come along beside you and pick you up and say, I'll carry you. I'll help carry you during this difficult season. We need to reevaluate. We need to evaluate our friend circle and upgrade some friendships from friendships to partnerships. Some of you got a lot of friends, but you don't have very many partners. And it's time for you to do an upgrade and say, I want to move to a deeper level. It's time for me to go beyond the surface friendships and say, I need some people who are willing to carry me on my darkest hour. I need to be willing to do this for somebody else as well. God is calling me to be a life partner for somebody else, that I can be a faith partner for them, carry them when they're paralyzed. And they can carry me when I can't move and I'm gripped by fear and things in my life that I'm going through. His partners were not satisfied with him remaining the same. They're like, you've been doing this way too long. Jesus is in town, and we're not going to let this moment pass you by. But see, this is the real problem, okay? Are you ready for the real problem? The real problem is this. We got a lot of friends, and some of our friends, the only way they can relate to you is the dysfunctional you. Because if you get healed, they can't relate to you anymore. You start getting your life together, and they have a hard time relating to you. Oh, they can relate to the person who's an addict. They can relate to the person who's full of fear. They can relate to the person who's giving up. They can relate to the person who's not putting God first in their life and struggling. They can relate to that. But you start making steps toward God and say, man, I'm going to get to God's house no matter what. I'm going to fight through the crowd no matter what. I'm going to get there no matter what. And watch to see how many friends this kind of part. Woo, woo. I can't relate to that guy anymore. Because if he changes, that means I got to change. I'm convicted because I see that you're no longer settling for less. And I've got to challenge myself. If I'm going to be in your company, either I'm going to pull up or I'm going to pull out. See, people want to relate to the dysfunctional us. But a partner will invest in your transformation. A faith partner will invest in your transformation. This was not an easy trip to carry this man all the way there. And then once they get there, they can't get in. They get all the way there. Can you imagine that? They get all the way there and they can't even get in. The door's packed and people have spilled out over into the front of the house. They can't even get to the door. Let's try a window. People are all crammed by the windows listening. They can't even get to a window. Well, what else are we going to do? Can someone answer this simple question? Why couldn't they get in the house? Why couldn't they get in the house? Simple answer was this. Jesus was in the house. Oh, you better hang on to your hat this morning because I'm feeling it right now. I'm telling you right now. Jesus was in the house. Show me a church where Jesus is in the house. A church that loves like Jesus. A church that proclaims Jesus as the only way. A church that sees healing through Jesus' name. A church who says, we're going to boldly proclaim who Jesus is. We're going to proclaim who He is in our life. A church who loves like Jesus, who worships Jesus, who invites Jesus to be in their midst. Who isn't just playing church, but says, man, I want to be changed. I want Jesus in the house. You show me a church where Jesus is showing up in a house, I'll show you a church where people are lining up to get into. Because people don't want the substitute. There's enough of that out there. They want the real thing, baby. Let's bring Jesus into the house. Let's let faith arise and say, I am bringing Jesus into the house with me. I want people lining up to get into the place. I hope people can't find parking places, as bad as that sounds. Why? Because I mean Jesus is in the house. God's doing something. I've had some of those Sundays people say, man, I came to your church. I couldn't find a parking place. I feel bad. But same time, I think, good. I mean Jesus was in the house. People are wanting to be where Jesus is at. Faith says, I can't get through the door. I'm going to go through the window. I can't get through the window. I'll go to the top of the roof. I mean, sometimes you just got to rise above. Well, Pastor, I know, but I go to church, and the church is just full of people who, some of them are just hypocrites, and I just can't get above that. Well, sometimes you got to rise above the people to get to where Jesus is at. Just come and join us, because no one's perfect, and neither are you. So just come and join the club. It's all right. And you know what? Let's say I'm going to rise above it. I'm going to pick my faith up and say, no matter what, I'm going to get to God. I'm going to get to Jesus. They picked him up and they took him to the roof and they began to cut through. Verse 5 says, Jesus saw their what? Their faith. Jesus saw whose faith? Whose faith? Jesus saw their faith. Plural. Jesus sees their faith, but he speaks to the paralyzed man. He sees their faith, and he speaks to the paralyzed man, which suggests this, that we have two kinds of faith here. We have the surrogate faith that says, you know what? I'm feeling kind of down here. I'm kind of going on my last fumes of faith. I'm running on my last fumes of faith. Pastor Joe, man, I've been traveling. My faith is getting weak and low. And a surrogate faith comes along beside you, puts an arm around you and says, let me take the faith I have and mix it with the little faith you got left, and I'll carry it with you. I'll take you to Jesus. Let's go. Don't give up. Let's go. Keep your head up. Let's get to the roof if we have to. Let's cut a hole in the roof if we have to. But let's get to God. Whatever it takes, I will help you. Surrogate faith comes along and carries you if it has to. If it has to, it will drag you all the way there. I'm convinced there's only two of them showed up. They would have drug his mat all the way there because they were mixing their faith with him. Thank you. See, a surrogate faith helps you do that. And there's also a collective faith. A collective faith is what? A collective faith that says Jesus saw their faith. I don't know if we're just talking about the four men or if we're talking about the four men plus the paralyzed man. We're unclear on that. But either way, he saw a collective faith. He was moved by those four men. Whether it was their faith alone or it was their four men's faith along with his faith. Either way, it says Jesus was moved by their faith. It was their faith that moved him. What did Jesus see when he saw their faith? He saw guys that couldn't get in the front door. He saw guys that couldn't get into the window. He saw guys who figured out a way to get this friend on top of the roof. He saw guys who, I'm sure, didn't bring anything to dig with, but yet took their hands and got them dirty and dug and moved whatever kind of roofing system they had, whatever kind of shingle system they were using. They moved those things apart, and they put together some kind of ingenuity to bring up some kind of pulley system that would allow themselves to lower this man down. And when Jesus looked up and saw their faith, what moved him about their faith? Could it be their effort? Could it be that he was moved by the effort these men put in to trying to see that their friend got to Jesus? You think your effort doesn't count? You're wrongly mistaken. Jesus looks at our efforts. It's a partnership. They were partnering. God, if we can just get him to Jesus, Jesus will do his part. But we got to do our part and do anything we can to get him there. I wonder how many of us today, if Jesus was to look at our effort, would he see faith? If Jesus was to look at our effort, your effort today, would he see faith? Would he see faith? Or would he see somebody who's given up? Or somebody who's not putting out an effort? God can do it, but we put out no effort. See, when these men did everything they could do, then Jesus does what only he can do. And when these men did everything they could do, they did everything humanly possible for these guys to get their friend to Jesus. When they did everything they could do, then Jesus looks up, sees their effort, and says, I see your faith. I see what kind of effort you put into this. I see that you didn't just give up and go home. I see that you didn't give up halfway and say, hey, Jesus, come to our friend. We couldn't bring him all the way here. They carried him all the way there. They lifted him up. They cut a hole in the roof. They did what it took. See, God will only do what we cannot do. He will not do what we won't do. What do you mean? All right, you remember me telling you about faith. I lose my job. Faith doesn't say, well, God's just going to bring me another job. So I'm going to wait here patiently until God brings me another job. No, faith says, God, if I lose this job, then you must have a different answer for me. But until then, I'm going to go out and I'm going to fill out applications. I'm going to get online and fill out applications, and then I'm going to go and knock on the manager's door and say, hey, I'm available for hire. If you need anybody, here's my face. Here's my number. Give me a call. Give me a call. Faith doesn't sit there and say, oh, God, you do your part, and I'll wait for you. No, I get out there and do everything I can, and when I've done that, I say, all right, God, the rest is in your hands. The rest is in your hands. That's partnering in faith. Well, God's going to heal me. God's going to encourage me. But I make no effort to be in the house of the Lord on a consistent basis. I do my part. I do my part. Let faith arise. And I do my part. And then I say, God, now I've done everything I know to do. Now I know you can do what I cannot do. If it's not in our power to do it, God won't do it for us. Listen, if it's in our power to do it, God won't do it for us. He assists us in the areas we're unable to do for ourselves. So faith is not revealed only in my praise and only in my prayer, but in my willingness to partner with God and become obedient to do my part. That's where faith is found. Am I willing to do my part? I can say I believe all I want. I can say I have faith all I want, but will I do my part? How small it may be. But when I do the things I can naturally do, God does the things that His super can only do, and it happens to become supernatural. He takes His super, puts it with my natural, and does something supernatural. It may be something small. That woman who cooked that little last meal for the prophet, it was just a small thing she did, but she did what God asked her to do, and God did the supernatural, and she never went hungry. Her oil never ran out. They never starved through the famine. Why? Because she did the small thing of faith that God asked her to do. See, faith does not exempt me. Look at this. Faith does not exempt me from my part of the partnership that God has for me. I've got faith. I've got faith. I've got faith. But we never do our part. The scripture is full of the promises. If we build our house on the foundation of God, if we begin to build our house a certain way, if we build our marriage a certain way, if we train our children a certain way, if we give our offerings a certain way, if we trust in the Lord a certain way, if we pray a certain way, the scripture is full of the instructions on how you and I are to live our life and do our part. It's a partnership. And when we do our part, then He says, I will do the rest. But we got to do our part. And sometimes you can't do your part alone. You need somebody to come along beside you and say, come on, get up. Let's go. I'll help you. I know you don't feel like it. That's why I'm here. I know you don't want to get out of bed, but get out of bed. I know you're depressed and locked up, but turn the light on. Get out. Get some sunlight. Let's go. Come on. God's going to pull you through, but you're going to have to get out of bed, face the day. Let's go. Let me pray with you today. Let me share some scripture with you today. Let me encourage you today. Come along, somebody, and be that partner. Say, God, I'm going to partner with you. And then say, I'm going to partner with somebody else the same way. Learning to have that partnership. We all need a faith partner. Our faith is always revealed when we go through a test or crisis. Isn't that true? Our faith is always revealed, as we talked about last week. When we go through those tests, our faith is revealed. Who or whatever, listen to this, who or whatever you turn to first when you have a crisis is the proof where your faith is most. We can say we have our faith in God all we want. But where's the first place you turn to when you have a crisis? Whatever the first places you go, that's the first place you got your most faith in. For too many people, including Christians, God has become too often plan B. God, I've tried everything else. Nothing else is working for me. So this is my last resort. Let me say to you, if you're here today because of that, that's okay. You're here and you're taking that step. And we say, thank you. And I say, we believe that God is going to do something. You're taking that step. But what's going to change in our life is this, to say, I've got to quit making God my last resort and start making him my first choice. That's when things begin to change. How many people do we know that we see them when they're going through a crisis in their life? God does something great in their life. They get to doing better. Then all of a sudden, we don't see them again for 6 months or a year until another crisis hits and they're back in. Oh, I should have never left the church. I should have never done this. We're like, yeah, you're right. You're right. How different would our life be if God becomes plan A every time? God, I'm going through something. You are my hope. You are my resource. My faith is in you. How much different would our lives change? How much different would our faith change? How much different would our outlook change in life? How much different would it be if we just stay there? Matter of fact, I wonder if we'll keep God plan A, if we'll have to face as many tests as a person who keeps God's plan B. Are you following me? I wonder how many of us will have to face as many crises. Because if you're keeping God plan A, then God says, I don't have to prove it as much. I see it. You've proven it. I don't have to make you walk through so much. But for the person who always says, I only come to God when it's a crisis, then God says, all right, then you're always going to have a crisis because I want you coming to me. Are you following me today? Faith partnership. Let's make him plan A. He looks at the man coming down through the roof. They've done all the resources they could. They've lowered him down through the roof. Jesus looks at their faith. And what does he do? Hey, your sins are forgiven. Only one problem. They didn't come there for that. That was not their intent. That was not their intent. Their intent was to friend, hey, Jesus, ask God. I think he missed that there. Hey, you, Jesus, we did you notice he's on a mat? We're lowering him through the roof. You know, this is dangerous. We didn't go through all this trouble because this man's sins need to be forgiven. We did all this because he was paralyzed. This is the real tragedy here, Jesus. This is the real reason we're here. We need to be unparalyzed. Our friend needs to be healed. But Jesus looks at him and says, no. See, what you guys think is the most important, that's not what I think is the most important. You guys think this man's problem is he's paralyzed. No, his real problem is this. This man's carrying around a lot of guilt. Can you imagine this man thinking as they're lowering him down in front of Jesus, I have no business. I have no business coming through the roof in the middle of Jesus' big conference here. I had no business doing this because it wasn't last week that I was laying on my mat cursing God. God, why? Why did you allow me to stay paralyzed so long? God, why did you make me depend on everybody else? God, why? Can you imagine the guilt this man was carrying into that room that day? And you see, before Jesus could really do what he wanted to do, Jesus addresses the number one issue in his life, and that's the guilt he was facing. Son, your sins are forgiven. Can you imagine the guilt leaving him? Can you imagine grace overwhelming him? I didn't even ask, but yet he looks at me, and he addresses the one area that I was really dreading more than anything. Was the guilt that I had carried into this room. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Why is that important? Because guilt was robbing this man of his faith. Guilt was robbing this man of his faith. And before Jesus could unparalyze him, he had to deal with the guilt first. Look at this statement. Jesus deals with his guilt first because guilt is a faith robber. For many of you here, you're walking in paralyzed because guilt is keeping you paralyzed. For many of you here, you're walking in and think, Pastor, I know I need to partner with God, but God would never partner with me because of my past. That's why next week we're starting a new series on grace. We're going to show you just how big God's grace is in our life. Why is that important? We got to have an understanding of how big God's grace is. Because once we realize a full understanding of what God's grace is, it sets you free to live for Him. It motivates you to live a life of faith like you've never had before. I'm telling you, your understanding of grace is going to go through the roof if you allow it. And say, God, I want to open up my mind and heart to the grace of God in my life, so that I can go to the next level, that I can become a faith partner, and I can see the paralyzed places in my life be set free. When I understand just how big your grace is in my life. He deals with the guilt so he could bring the healing. Today, I wonder how many of us in this room, how many of us in this room today are walking around paralyzed and we need someone to carry us? I wonder how many in this room that God's calling you to be that kind of partner, that you'll reach out to the people you know that are spiritually paralyzed and you'll say, I'll do what it takes to carry you in. I'll come along. I'll bring some surrogate faith. I'll come along and do whatever it takes. What am I doing? If I can just get you to Jesus. I don't care what it takes, buddy. I'll help you. God's calling some of you here to be that kind of faith partner. Some of you here, God's calling you to stretch out your hands today in faith. Say, God, I'm ready. Jehovah, I'm ready to partner with you in faith. I want you just to bow your heads right now where you're at. I'm going to ask the question right now. You say, Pastor, today as you talk about partnering with God in faith, I realize that I've never given my heart to Jesus Christ. And today, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. We won't do anything to embarrass you, but we want to give you a chance to respond today and say, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in my life. I've never accepted Him as my Lord. Today, I want to do that. Or maybe you have before, but it's been a long, long time ago, and you've never truly lived for Him in a long time. You say, today, Pastor, I want to renew that relationship. I want to learn what it means to live for God. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it alone and tell me that's me? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Raise your hand. That's you. Thank you. Anybody else say, today's my day, Pastor. Thank you. I'm ready to give my heart to Jesus Christ. I'm ready to partner in faith with Him like I never had before. If you haven't raised it yet, I'm going to ask one more time. It could be the most important decision you've ever done in your life. It will be. If that's you today, raise your hand. If you haven't raised it yet. Thank you. Thank you. I see the hands. We're going to say this prayer together. Those of you who raise your hands, I want you to say it out loud. And today as Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you as well. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my heart. Every part of my life belongs to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life in partnership with you. I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Those of you who prayed that prayer for the first time, you say, welcome to the family of God. Now give them a hand. Big. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. How many say, Pastor, I want to be that kind of partner. I want to be a partner to somebody else. I think God's calling me to be a partner to somebody else. Raise your hand if that's you. Say, that's me. Yeah. How many say, I need a partner like that? Anybody here? Yeah, several of us. It's good. I need to be that partner. God's calling us today. Who in your life is God calling you to go knock on the door? Who is God calling you to go to them and say, God is greater? Let's make it personal today as we worship the Lord in the song and say, God, I'm going to partner and I'm going to be that partner.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you.
Raise your hands this morning. I want to pray for you before we leave today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person in this room. That God, we become faith partners with you. That God, we believe that you are Jehovah, the covenant God. If we'll reach out our faith, that you will reach out, Father, and partner with us. That you'll unfold the things of the gospel that you want to bring the truth to our lives. You'll unfold so much if we'll just partner with you. And Father, I pray that we'll partner with you first. And I pray in return that, Father, you allow us to be a faith partner, that we can carry our friends who are paralyzed, that we can speak to the brokenhearted. We can bring those who have been paralyzed by hurt and fear, and we can bring them into the house where Jesus is out. We can bring them into the house where change can happen. Lord, show us people that we can partner with. Show us people that we can show your love to. God, make us a faith partner. And we give you praise today. We say yes to your word. Yes to your word today. We say amen. Put your hands together and say, God, I agree over that word today for my life. God bless you tonight. Hopefully you'll find a life group with someone to be involved. You guys have a great, great week. God bless you.